Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. Remember, the HR Power Hour can now be heard on podcasting nationally, on most national podcast channels, especially Spotify, iTunes, and also iHeartRadio. Make sure you go there, click on it, listen every week, and get educated. There's a year's worth of shows on there. So make sure that you find your favorite and listen soon. Today, of course, our guests are going to be Steve Bourne. He's a senior solution sales, and Wayne Edwards. He's an augmented reality specialist. And that's what we're really going to be talking about today, gentlemen, leveraging AR or augmented reality for the next generation workforce. So for all those non-techies out there, Wayne, for all those non-techies, what is augmented reality?
Well, as the word says, you know, augmented reality. How are we going to augment reality? So if you think about the football season we just recently had here, or maybe going on as this airs, you know, you think about seeing that yellow line on the TV screen. It's trying to show you where is that first down line. So we are augmenting some digital information, that yellow line, on top of a physical world, that field. So it's a way of just us displaying digital information so that we can actually interact with the physical world in a much better way.
And I think that's a great way of visualizing that yellow line that's on a football field that you see on TV, but of course they don't see on the field, though I suspect most of the players would love to see that on the field, to tell you the truth. And maybe someday they will, inside their helmets. You never
Absolutely.
Know where it's going to go in some place. So, you know, as we're talking about HR professionals and the way they may look at this is say, okay, I know a virtual reality. I know kind of what that is. And I kind of get what you're saying is that you're going to provide information on a screen digitally where people can look and they can learn. But how does that really fit into training or development or day-to-day operations that an HR manager, HR leader, or owner can think about? Wayne?
Yeah, well, let's think about the roles and the life cycle of HR, right? So one of their primary functions is trying to recruit new talent, right? So what are they trying to articulate in that conversation or, you know, on their website? They're trying to explain to someone, what is the job that I'm looking to hire you for, right? So I can explain it to you. You can read about it. You might even be able to, you know, find some information about it, but being able to actually help you visualize better. If I'm hiring you to perform an inspection process, for example, on a frontline assembly, if I could show you step by step, you know, here's what that job really looks like, you know, then you can actually leverage AR during the recruitment stage to actually show a candidate, hey, this is what I'm looking to hire you to do. And for them being able to access that content digitally via a phone, via a tablet, via their PC, via the web, you have a better opportunity for them to visualize, what is the job that I'm actually applying for? Do I actually have those skills? And so I think it's best for the actual HR person doing the recruitment to explain, here is the job, allowing the person they're trying to hire to see what it looks like, to really, you know, close that gap on, do I have what it takes? This is something that interests me. And at the same time, they are experiencing this technology that they're going to use, that if you are the fortunate candidate to get that job, when you come to work for us, we're going to leverage, you know, modern technology like augmented reality to train you. It is a much more better way of learning in a more step-by-step way, leveraging augmented reality technology versus looking at a PowerPoint trying to remember what we would call just in case you need to know this information. So it's a much better format for being able to what we call learn the job and then be able to take that same digital information with you for doing the job. So if you think about from a training perspective, it's you can actually teach them how to do the job, allow them to take that content with them while they actually perform the job.
So, Steve, as you're looking at this from a perspective, saying an organization might say, okay, I get the concept. I understand what that's about. Maybe you could provide some examples about different industries that could be used for this, different places where companies might find this relevant. So they have a concept of maybe I understand what it is, but show me exactly where it might have more uses or practices.
Yeah, let me use a situation working right now with a client. So one of the key things to remember is that you and I, we use digital technology every day to do our jobs. We're only 25% of the workforce. 75% of the people out there are not using any kind of digital technology. And what really augmented reality is doing is it's taking all this information and bringing it to the person when and where and how they're doing their job. And so, right now there's a manufacturer that they've been running one shift. They want to go to a second and third shift, but they can't, they don't have the bodies. There's not in the area they are, there's not enough people, a machinist with the skill sets to even know how to run a CNC machine. So they're trying to figure out how do we find, attract, and train this volume of people in the time we need.
A very real reality today for many manufacturers.
Yep. And so they, you don't have the skills. So what we're working with them to do is we're going to use this augmented reality training to replace some of the in-classroom training so they can actually do the things, understand how they're doing it with the technology. And this company has a mentor apprentice program, but every hour that mentor is just watching, that's production time they're not producing. So that's a big cost to the business. So there's a couple weeks of this mentor assistance training. What we're able to do with the technology is that mentor doesn't need to be there because the digital technology that's helping the person do their job is going to be with them. So they'll be able to see, here's the steps, here's the instructions. People don't have to think, what was I told to do? What did I learn in that classroom? They'll be there, the technology will step them through and do that there. And what it does is people, the huge thing is time to productivity. All right. Because if you want to increase, in manufacturing, if you buy another machine, you can double your output. That's a linear growth. People aren't linear. You just can't throw three bodies and through. They need to ramp up and they need to understand the job and get good at it. By having this digital technology, they get to that time to productivity so much faster. And they do the work, and then the qualities goes up. They make fewer mistakes because everything's there. They can step up in the medical and some of the regulatory rules. We actually record. Did they do this? What did they do? That record gets captured. All right. And a lot of it takes work out of it. So through the whole process, start back what Wayne said. You've got to create the job description. Well, if you create that content, this is what the job does. It gets used in the recruiting. Gets used in the training, gets used, as they're learning the job and as they continue to do it. So it drastically cuts down that content creation cost. We get some companies telling us it's a tenth of the time and the effort.
One of the things I think which would be important as we talk about this is for the audience to understand, since we can't see visually what this is, as we're on podcasting and we're on the radio, could you explain the technology itself? In other words, the hardware that is used. So is that maybe we can visualize? I know somebody's going to wear either a helmet or some sort of goggles or something. Explain that a little bit, Wayne, maybe to try to give somebody an understanding of what they might be wearing or how this might be performed in front of them where they can't see you actually either putting it on or sharing it.
Yeah, let's break it down in a simple context of a training procedure. So first thing is I must create the AR procedure, right? The augmented reality procedure. Someone must author that document. So with augmented reality, there's really three primary components. One is what we would call the capture of that knowledge, right? How do we capture the how-to instructions of how to perform a task? Okay. So with augmented reality, we have these different devices that we can put on the subject matter expert's head, the literally the frontline worker, the expert. So we like to call it, let's capture your best practice from your best person. So we literally can put a device on them. Some people call it a goggle. Some people call it a head-mounted device. It is basically a production system on your head. Literally, I can train someone in 10 to 15 minutes on how to put this device on, and it has voice-driven commands. Okay, during this procedure, I am going to teach you on how to assemble this piece of equipment. Next step, take photo. So it will actually capture video footage. It will capture voice commands. It will capture, pictures as you go along, as I stated, and allow you in a step-by-step way. So I've captured the content from that knowledge worker. Now, once I have this content, I now can bring it into step two of the process where I really now want to, you know, do things like voiceovers. Let's say I want to produce a digital standard operating procedure, and I want to share this across multiple regions around the world. So I could create a version in English, a version in Russian, a version in German, a version in Spanish. So you see how quickly I captured this document. Now I can real quickly create different versions of it with different languages. I can enhance each step of that process with different job aids. So let's say, for example, I'm asking you to go out and perform an inspection at step four of a process. When I get to step four, I can actually see things like drawings. I can see videos. I can see pictures with marked up. I can see text. So I have everything I need to perform that job. So when you edit the document, the real nice thing is about scalability. You may have a workforce of 10,000 people. And many companies are trying to standardize on some way to consume digital procedures. So you can consume these digital procedures in many different ways, via a cell phone, via a tablet, via a PC, again, via these goggles or glasses that you have. So if you have frontline workers like in the utility industry or field service technicians, they want to have their hands free. So they can actually see the step-by-step procedure. So the real value prop here is that I can create a procedure leveraging that first person knowledge. So think about today, a lot of companies have SOP, standard operating procedures. But if everyone would be honest with themselves, those things are probably outdated. They were probably developed to document a process to maybe to meet an audit or to meet a regulatory requirement. But if you go and compare, how do I actually do that job versus what it says? There's usually a disconnect, right? Just because you can't capture everything, you can't capture sounds, you can't capture all the different scenarios that happen in the real world. So augmented reality allows us to capture that now and produce it so that someone can now follow that procedure step by step, you know, like if I have a device with a voice command. So it's highly scalable to be able to, you know, create content faster so that now you can use better content that was created faster to actually learn the job and then do the job.
I'll tell you, Wayne, what's interesting about that. And by the way, you're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking with Steve Bourne and Wayne Edwards. We're talking about leveraging augmented reality, or AR, the next generation workforce. I think what is different about this, somebody might be saying, well, it's just a bunch of videos. It isn't. They're actually able to work with somebody right there live and do that work. So you've got hands-on experience plus video technology plus instructions all right in front of you, whether it's on a tablet, whether it's on a phone, whether it's on the goggles, whether it's on a screen. You have this whole massive part of all that around you. And I think that's probably the biggest difference. As we get ready to go to break here in another minute or so, Steve, tell us what you are seeing as one of the biggest wins for a company that where they say, okay, the cost, which we'll talk about in the next segment, the benefit outweighs the initial outlying cost to this.
Yeah. So any, you know, the big times is with, like when I was mentioning, the field service groups or the training, when you've got to get that time to productivity, and then the quality metrics when we work them in. One of the things we do is we do that business value. So just what you said, if I spend this money, what's going to be the value? And so they can ramp up and save that time to productivity, get faster. There used to be mountains of obstacles that companies would have. How do I get the people to productivity? Well, now with the automatic technologies, they get there faster and the people do the job right. Because it's, you know, as you're talking earlier, just not a video. You're adding the tips, the instructions, you're adding you know, like that yellow line, first down line, you're adding it right in front of the people. They know exactly where the first down line, they know when they're done. They know when they got the first down. That's so much better than guessing or reading a manual to try to figure out, am I there?
Yeah, no, it's fascinating stuff. And as we'll talk about in the next segment, really, it's coming faster than people understand. And that the costs and the benefits are really exponentially changing to make this more reality for smaller companies, where it might have been the reality for bigger companies. We're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you are listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, our guests are Steve Bourne and Wayne Edwards, and we're talking about leveraging AR, or augmented reality, for our next generation workforce. You know, I got to thinking, as you were talking about it in the first section, Steve, about this shift that's happening in the workplace. And I think, as we all know, over the last year, there has been a shift of technology. And the demographic expert we had on just a few weeks ago talked a little bit about it's 10 years worth of technology shift in 1 year. It's what it pretty much is. How fast the workplace has changed is almost what it would have taken about 10 years to do so. And I put this in the category of that new way of looking at how we've always done it. HR has always done certain ways of training and development. We've always done certain ways of on the manufacturing floor or in the hospital, different ways. We've always done a way of doing it. And we are, as humans, naturally nervous about change. And there is this hesitation of, you know, will this take over what our jobs are? And I actually would argue, as I'm sure you will, that this doesn't take over anything. It enhances. It really speeds up the process, as well as, to your point, as you said last time, and I wrote it down, changes the quality dynamic faster, right? One of the biggest problems of that ramp up of 30, 60, 90 days, if we could get it down to 30, I don't think there's a single person on here who would argue that that's not a great idea, right? To get production up to scale, especially any of the senior leaders or owners listening. When you think about this, though, where are we today? And where do we think this is going to be from a realistic standpoint in terms of for the day-to-day user, the smaller, the mid-sized firm? Big firms get it, understand completely. But how about for the mid-size or even the smaller firms? Where are we at? And how is that something that people should start looking at today, or when should they start looking for it?
Well, it's probably yesterday because, you know, there's two huge dynamics going on. One is the older workforce is retiring. And, you know, that is one of the big drivers, is that how to capture all this knowledge that's going out the door. On the other end of the spectrum, you have our kids that are growing up with Pokemon Go. And, you know, kids, the younger generations, they won't open a manual. They won't read a document. They want to grab a device and get the answer. And that's the world that they're living in. And they expect information to be at their fingertips. And so that the big change that's happening incredibly faster is that the technology is now there to remove those barriers of information and get what workers need to them when they need it. And so it's, you know, like you said, this isn't an automatic car replacing the Uber driver. This is taking, you know, somebody that's doing a job, if they're doing, you know, field service, need to fix things. You know, they need to know, what is this part? What's wrong with it? How should this be going? How does this connect? Everything they need gets put right in front of them. So those barriers are going away. And this is how the next generation of workers expect to work, want to work. And, you know, I had a client of mine, it's a chemical company. I'm like, I asked him, you know, why are you, you know, so interested? And he's like, well, chemicals isn't sexy. We're not going to be able to recruit anyone if we're still telling people you're going to have to walk around with a clipboard and a pencil and figure things out. The kids won't do it.
Yeah, it's a shifting dynamics. You know, it's interesting. I tell the story because it's true. We had an individual in our office from a recruiting standpoint, executive level, coming out of a very good school, right? You know, the Harvards and the, you know, the Ivy League school type level person, very smart, sat in the room. He was looking to get a position that was going to pay easily six figures to start right out of the gate, right? A very, very intelligent, smart person. And he walked in and he said, before we start, I just would like to say, I want to be very clear on an expectation. Now that's pretty gutsy, right? Walking into an interview, but that's where we are today. And he said, I want to be able to make sure that I can work on my phone and my tablet. I don't want one of those old laptop things. And there was this moment of, I will say almost this, I won't say gasp, but this silent gasp with the executives that were in the room. Of this moment of what, like that's how we operate, right? And he said, if that's not the case, I understand, but then you're not for me. And this is what you're talking about, that shift of they're making decisions based on how they understand life to be today, and they don't want to change what there is. And we, as the employer, are saying, well, then we're not going to hire you. The problem is, we're not going to be able to hire anybody. And that's problems already beginning to happen. Wayne, as you see this technology today, I think this is going to really help provide more talent for companies, because they're going to be able to shortcut some of the training and development that causes a lot of headache.
Yeah, just think about it. You know, we used the analogy open this session around the sports with the yellow line. Think about now a digital playbook, how to do any task that you need this new person hired to be able to perform. So if I was able to hire you to perform a given task, you know, maybe to go, your job is to go and install equipment in a data center, right? So if I could give you an application on your phone or on your tablet or on your head that would tell you step by step, you know, where to go and guide you there. And when you get to step one in the process, all of the information that you need to perform step one will be available to you digitally. You know, you will know how to open up the machine. You will know how to look at the replacement parts, you know, step by step for step one. And now step two is somewhere different in that data center. It will guide you to point two in the data center. It will guide you to step three. So if you can follow the instructions, the analogy of the sports, I imagine, everyone has the playbook, right? The offensive lineman knows what to do, the tight end. When the coach calls in the play, they all have the same playbook, so they know what their function is. So really, augmented reality is making this digital playbook available so that people now can just follow directions better in a more in situation way. I'm going to give you an analogy everyone can relate to. This is coming to retail very, very, very fast. You know, you're going to be able to go to any mall and say, I'm looking for shoes today. Okay. Search in the app for the mall shoes. And it's going to tell you, you know, what kind of shoes you're looking for. I want some athletic shoes. It's going to digitally show you on your phone or on your tablet, you know, what kind of options you're looking for. You're going to be able to select the type you want to. It will guide you to that store, not only to that store, but to the section in that store. And so, you know, it's just going to give you step-by-step instructions on how to do anything. So just think about how to things, right? So it's just a better way of learning. I mean, we'll be able to use all of our brains and our energy doing more productive things than trying to figure out, you know, what did the training instructor say I'm supposed to do? Or what did the manual say when I watched that video? Or, you know, all these things that we're trying to cram into our heads just in case we need the information. Well, if I can delete all that space and energy and just focus on just in time, like right now, what do I need to do? What is step one? All I got to focus on is step one, and everything is right here. It's for step two, for step three. So think about any job function you hire someone for. There are many steps to the process. If you could just say, you know, you got 2,000 digital procedures that you need to learn. And if you showed them how to navigate one, two, or three, or four of them, they can navigate all 2,000. That's really why there's no magic on how we can cut the time to proficiency down by 50%.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. Our guests today are Steve Bourne and Wayne Edwards, and we're talking about augmented reality and leveraging it for the next generation workforce. It's fascinating stuff, gentlemen. And it's coming faster, I know, each and every day. And this is the reality of where the future is going. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And that's coming pretty quick. I think one of the questions that certainly is going to come up, right, is that what are some of the evaluations that companies are going to need to go through to understand if it's right for them now or when it will be right for them, and what industries it's more pragmatic in today or more relevant in today in terms of making that happen. And maybe, Steve, you can start with kind of giving us an overview of where is it really being used today and where and what companies should think about it. And then I realize that all should look at it, but let's talk a little bit about that trend.
Yeah, well, so it obviously started in the manufacturing where you had the design models that were in 3D that could be moved in augmented reality. That's how it started a number of years ago. And so all the manufacturing firms were the first ones to go there. Next was the process manufacturers with things that make food or chemicals or anything else, because it's so important to do things right with the quality and give those. Both of those that discrete and that manufacturing firms, they're both trying to move out of the static paper age, all right, and trying to get rid of it. In PTC terminology and others, it's the digital thread. So have that information start from design engineering, move through operations to manufacturing. And now the other big place is service. And because there's tremendous, companies are saving tons of money, all right, because their people are, when they're going to fix something, they're fixing it the first time. The time it takes is going down. So those service industries are were the next ones to go down, to adopt and move it. And now, you know, Wayne and I were talking earlier today, we're getting all these different use cases now where people are trying, you know, looking to deploy it and do it. And we always have to, you know, take a step back with them and saying, all right, you're not going to spend the money in this technology because it's neat. You're going to spend the money because it's going to help the bottom line of your business. So let's talk about how things are cost. What's it costing you to do this today? How much? We do the math with them, all right, to understand their current costs, and then how they're going to do things tomorrow. And that's just the quantitative. And then there's always the qualitative, you know, with, you know, attracting the new workers, using it, the productivity. But, you know, that's been the trend. And, you know, and we were just talking about, you know, production, manufacturing. I think a lot of people have seen the IKEA commercials where you can walk around and put a furniture anywhere in your house. Genesis has an ad, the luxury car company. You don't need, you know, who likes opening their user manual for your car? All right. They now have an app. You actually use your phone. What is that little squiggly line, you know, on my dashboard that's flashing at me? You know, the app tells you, you know, you open the hood. What are the things? Well, here it is. You know, and those are the things that we're seeing it, you know, permeate, you know, like you said, very quickly.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Wayne, do you see this ramping up even faster over the next 1-2 years in terms of the way technology can be brought to what I would say mainstream?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously we're a year into the pandemic with as we stand here. Prior to the pandemic, you know, most companies were looking to apply this technology because they were really at full capacity. They could not go any faster without, you know, enabling technology to help their people. Obviously, the pandemic changed things. People couldn't travel. It's harder to train people. So, you know, it's really accelerated the use of augmented reality for being able to create better training content. How do I, you know, create a training procedure? And now I can manage this in AR and I can distribute this globally wherever you are on whatever device you have. So it's absolutely accelerated it, you know, tremendously, not only within the industries that were already the early adopters, but now everyone's looking. If you've got people that you're trying to train, and they are distributed. As you know, there's many companies with training centers now that are empty, right? People can't travel to the training center. So how am I going to train people? And it's not just about training them the first time. You know, this is what AR allows you to do is to create better content faster. But now I have content management in here where I can now distribute this content. I can do version control on this procedure. So this drives a practice for continuous improvement that if someone has an idea of a better way to do a step four in a process, they can provide that feedback. You can quickly incorporate that enhancement into this step, push a button, and your distributed global workforce has the latest version of the document. So this is the platform for continuous improvement. I mean, the old days, people didn't want to give you feedback because it fell on deaf ears, right? I mean, they never got to see their voice being heard. AR gives you a chance to allow them to speak the voice, actually capture the process improvement digitally, send it to you. You can evaluate it, update your document, and distribute it right back out to the workforce. So just think about any industry. Now, even like during the pandemic, the CVSs, the Walgreens of the world, a lot of these pharmacies are, you know, just need to be able to train a very large distributed workforce. We can leverage AR to teach you how to do anything and be able to keep that content updated. So it's coming fast and it's very pragmatic and a lot simpler than people think.
And we're going to talk more about that, but we come right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish that!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Ferrell-Law.com. I'm your host, David Jewell. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. Today, we're talking with Steve Bourne and Wayne Edwards. We're talking about leveraging augmented reality for the next generation workforce. Look, this is fascinating stuff, gentlemen, fascinating stuff. And there is no question it's coming. There's no question it's It's going to be something that is going to be more and more over the next 5 years, and we expect it to be mainstream easily over the next few years. But, you know, it's something that you said during the break, Wayne, which caught my attention. And it's really about the practical use of this in the day-to-day lives of employees and workers. Let's talk a little bit about that. So, you know, take it from there. What, talk about some practicality. I mean, we've talked in theory. Let's dig down a little bit for the practical use.
Yeah, very, very simply put, what I really like about augmented reality, we are empowering your most important asset, your people, right? So in today's pandemic world, you know, in any common situation, you know, it is so important that, you know, the challenge that we're dealing with is how do I, you know, get these people as proficient as fast as possible. So if you just look at it pragmatically, if I still have to hire new people today, I need to train them today. So having a procedure that is much better to understand and to follow and to use, it's something where people can apply this technology today, whether I'm training, you know, 5 people per week or 500 people or 5,000 people, you know, just a more efficient way of creating digital content to train and onboard people. So just very pragmatically, you know, how many people do you have to train in your organizations? You know, how are you creating that content today? How long is it taking? How many resources is it taking? You know, can we make creating content creation a lot faster? Can we create better content? You know, and so that is one pragmatic way to look at it, is that, you know, how much effort are we taking to create content? And then how are we applying that content? So that if I hire someone, are they sitting through 2 weeks in a classroom trying to absorb this content? You know, would it be valuable to your organization that if you could actually cut that time down to 50%, you know, would you be able to, would it be helpful for you that if that person had a digital procedure that they could take with them while they are learning the job? You know, because I ask those questions today in a pragmatic world. When you train someone, just think about it. The person, the instructor, is spending a lot of time trying to prepare content, and they're trying to collect knowledge from all kinds of places, right? And they're trying to give you their best knowledge set. And now they're trying to disperse that to you via PowerPoint and a lot of language. And as a brand new employee, just think about what that's like sitting in that room. We've all sat in those rooms before, right? And so it really is hard to learn. So just keep it that simple, that if I could really have a better way to train my people, because, you know, there's a survey out right now, 78% of all new workers are saying that they are looking for a place to go and work where they can actually learn to do the job. That's going to give them confidence to in doing the job, and that will certainly have a dramatic impact on turnover. You know, we've been talking about proficiency so much, but it really is about the employee safety as well. That employee feeling very comfortable. Do I know how to do my job that I was excited to come here to work for? And having a nice way to onboard that new employee is you're going to see is very changing from a cultural perspective. So just simply training is very, very efficient. And then I would like to really talk a little bit about, it's not just learning the job, it really is doing the job. You know, we haven't talked a lot about this kind of capability yet, but think about any process that you have training someone on, or let's say a 10-step process. We have the ability now within this technology to actually collect data while someone does the job. So let's say that step number one in this process is to, if you will imagine out there, listeners, put on your safety glasses, okay? So you can actually show them what the safety glasses look like. You can actually ask them to put them on, and then you can have them click a button that says, confirm, I actually put them on. That is being written to a database, so we know that they actually got the instructions and they actually completed the instructions. Step two may be walk over here and perform these 3 tasks. So we can collect data such as, can you inspect this here and tell them if it passes or fail? They could actually, you know, say pass or pass fail. So we could record that data input. So it now is about data analytics. We're actually telling you how to do the job. Now we're actually assisting you while you're doing the job, and we're collecting that data. And now we have real empirical data for process improvement. We can tell you how long is it taking a new hire to perform a given task versus someone who's been there 3 months or 3 years or 30 years. I can help you compare which step in the process is it taking the longest. Maybe first shift is struggling with some, not struggling, but third shift is, right? So you know, there's another component of this that's from a maturity point of view, where having the data to actually tell you how long is it taking to perform a process, you know, collecting data, I can tell you how many passed, how many failed. This is going to be game changing for being process improvements, because now I have real data. And so this is where the technology is really maturing right now. It's giving you not only the ability to create content, to author content, now to execute those procedures. And the fourth component from is now how to analyze those processes. So we have insights into how are my people performing. And I think this is really going to help people see the value significantly more. So now I can actually go and do process improvements that will move the needle in the business.
Wayne, that's excellent. That gives a real detailed explanation of the practical use of this new AR. You know, Steve, as we've said, okay, now I get it, right? This, I can see the practical use of it. What type of investments are required? How do I know and calculate the ROI? And how do I make a business case for this for my organization?
Well, one thing that, you know, Sconce and PTC do is that we don't leave you on your own. We've got, they're developed a whole bunch of tools, and depending on the use case is, you know, to walk, you know, people through that return on investment and the quantitative and the qualitative parts of it, where, you know, we asking the questions about looking at their business. So, you know, the, you know, Wayne didn't talk about the retention rates. What's the turnover? What does that cost your business? So you look at how you're doing things today and establish the cost. And then we work with them. All right, what's the potential benefits? And if companies, you know, I don't know what it's going to do. I don't know. Well, we've actually, you know, created a lot of, you know, depending on the industry, the job. Well, the industry average is in about this range. All right, because these calculations don't have, you know, it's not an exact science. We're not taking it out to three decimal places. All right. You know, you're going to spend X. You've got your current costs, and some of like the expert capture, the tool where we do the videoing, it gets deployed incredibly quickly. Companies can decide it. When we do a technology workshop, we're planning on one. We're going to go in there on a Thursday night, make sure the equipment works, make the experiences in the day, and we're going to walk out the end of that day, and they're going to be able to see them. So it can, the time to deploy is incredibly quick on that piece of the solution.
So the return on investment is pretty quick.
Everything, you got to be careful. Everything depends on, you know, every business is different, everything. The time to deployment can be quickly.
Okay, time to deployment is quick. So Wayne, add to that.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, most companies today that are investing in this technology are anticipating and getting, and we have data today that will show a 3x to 6x or 7x return year one. That is the value prop. This time to value, you can actually make an investment in year one and actually get return in year one. That is game changing. Now, a lot of people may ask, how much does this technology cost? There's lots of different components to it. You know, one area is just in the area of remote assistance, you know, of being able to enable people to see what I see. So think about the value prop of being able to, if I'm out here working on a piece of equipment, have a problem, the fact that I can just call you up via my phone, you actually can see exactly what I see. You can actually mark that up. Now that technology costs hundreds of dollars per users, very economical to deploy. You know, to even our most advanced technology, you know, you're going to see, you know, the cost be very in the hundreds of dollars per user type cost. So I just want people to know these are not $1 million investments, you know, that you can start as low as, you know, thousands of dollars to tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands. So I don't want people to really think that, oh, this is $1 million initial getting started. You can get started small. You can get value very fast. And that's the exciting part. And as Stephen mentioned, we have all the tools to help a customer map. How do I do things today? Where's the opportunity for, you know, process improvement? Where's the value? What are the metrics that are relevant to my business? And before we ever ask any customer for a contract, we make sure they understand, you know, the current state, the value, the potential benefit areas, give them a digital roadmap, let them drive the technology. You know, we will actually bring devices to you. We'll allow you experience the technology firsthand. If you don't want us to come on site, we'll actually ship you devices. But, you know, anyway, so the good news is that you actually experience what does it take to make this happen? You know, in a world like augmented reality, people do want to experience it firsthand. And so please know we have those tools available.
And that makes perfect sense, right? I mean, this is not something you're just going to see on a screen and be done. You're going to have to understand it and really see how it works in your world, in your That's environment, right. in your situation. And that makes perfect sense. And we're going to talk and wrap this up in the last segment. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. As a reminder, the show can be listened to not only on the hrpowerhour.com site, not only on WLOB Radio, but also podcasted across the nation on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and other national podcast chains across the country. We're excited about that. There's a year's worth of content on the podcast streamings. Go check it out, download it, and get educated in HR. Today, our guests have been Steve Bourne and Wayne Edwards, and we've been talking about leveraging AR, or augmented reality, for next generation workforce. As we wrap up today, Wayne, how about a quick success story of what you saw this really change the paradigm of a company?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, one of the most exciting things I enjoy working on this technology is that we truly are working with the frontline workers. We are enabling your most important asset, your people. And so often, you know, changes come from maybe the top down, you know, on where people don't feel like they have a voice into how to make things better. And so what's been super exciting for me is, as I mentioned earlier, leveraging augmented reality, we can actually capture knowledge from the frontline workers, from your best people. A lot of our customers have these initiatives. We want to take the best practice and make it our standard practice. And so by being able to go out into the workforce, identify your most valuable assets, your people, bring them into the conference room, let's capture their knowledge, let's make it a part of the next generation training content to see that, you know, cultural change that companies have been trying to drive as far as embracing the people and getting their people involved. This has been an enabling platform. So that part has been very satisfying to see the frontline workers to come, be excited to put on a device, to share their knowledge, to hear their voice, you know, in the training content so that when a new hire comes out of the training class and comes out to me, you know, I know exactly when I show you what step one and step two and step three look like, I know what you learned in the training classroom. I was a part of that. It really aligns the training organization with the operations organization, with the field organization, with the HR organization. That has been extremely rewarding to really help companies come up with a digital playbook that includes feedback from their ultimate valuable asset, that frontline worker, that now can be used to onboard their next generation workforce. So very rewarding, very exciting to see. And it's a very collaborative effort and really drives a cultural change that many companies are trying to deliver to their organizations.
No, that's great. Steve, quick story.
Yeah, no. So I like, you know, I just like helping people. And I love to hear the, you know, what it's doing to help companies. And a client was doing their valve company, and they were doing a trial, and they ended up, you know, buying. And I asked, you know, what turned the corner? And they told me the story of the quality person. They had a water valve that had a problem, and he was someone else is down in a ditch, and they're trying to figure out what the problem was. And he was using the over the shoulder technology with a camera. He said they love the little flashlight feature that turns on the flashlight on the phone. And the quality person was looking at me, and he circled, put your hand right here and tell me what it feels like underneath the valve. And he goes, well, it's sort of grimy. And right there, the quality person knew exactly what was going on. Normally, they would have had to take it out, take pictures, do something, but they were able to diagnose the problem right there. They also have to write quality reports. And every time he drew on it, it made images. And they said they solved the problem so quick, and it took him a fraction of the time to write up his quality and his report. And it's like they started with just a couple regions. They're like, everybody wants it. And so, you know, we're doing, you know, the technology's doing it. We're just enabling it. And we're making people happy because they're getting better at their jobs.
No, it's great. So where can people learn more about this? Obviously, you know, they might be interested. They want to contact somebody. Where would they get this information to reach both of you? Wayne?
Really simple. PTC.com. PTC.com. You'll see lots about our portfolio. You'll read a lot about our customers, about the problems that we solve. So if you like to use your smart devices, just go out and search for PTC.com.
And Steve?
Yeah, no, that's right. So, you know, PTC is the company that's developed all these products. Sconce is, we're a reseller and a channel partner. So when you go there, just tell them Steven sent you.
No, perfect. We'll make sure that happens. And then, of course, you can go to hrpowerhour.com and make sure that you meet Steve, meet Wayne. Their pictures will be there. Their information will be there. Links directly to the company will be there. Learn more. Learn more about this great technology that, yes, is the future for the next generation. Steve and Wayne, it was a pleasure having you on today. I appreciate it very much. Hope you'll come back and share maybe in another year or two where it's going and the updates. We'd love to hear it.
Anytime. Thanks a million, Dave.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back with the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Doug Currier from Verrill. Today, I want to talk for a moment about bonus payments for employees who miss a lot of work because of a reason covered by the Family and Medical Leave Act. An employee is out for 3 months on FMLA. The company provides a bonus at the end of the year based on individual job performance and company performance. Now, the FMLA regulations provide some guidance that it is not automatic that the bonus has to be paid to the employee who is out on leave. But whether the bonus needs to be paid will depend on the nature of the bonus and also how you treat other employees who are out of work for other reasons. For example, if the bonus is dependent upon achieving certain performance targets and those targets are reached, then the bonus likely needs to be paid notwithstanding the fact that the employee was out of work for 3 months. Consider also if another employee who is out for personal reasons receives the full bonus, then it may be problematic not to pay the full bonus to the employee who is out on the FMLA. The bottom line is that when faced with this situation, it's a good idea to check with an attorney before just deciding not to pay the bonus. To further discuss questions about the FMLA, please contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.